It's very appropriate that this year, in this first week of Passion, the second, of course, being Holy Week, when the Passion itself takes place, that we have had two feasts, solemnities, in which, first of all, the first reading from the Book of Ecclesiasticus, or the Book of Wisdom, the Latin translation says, and also the Gloria and the Credo are to be chanted or recited depending on what kind of Mass it is. Since this is a low Mass, we have not sung them. But we have begun before Mass, as is permitted by law, with the hymn of praise that is sung every evening, not just once a year, but every evening after Vespers in the great Arch Abbey of Monte Cassino, founded by Saint Benedict. And of course, some of you know that I'm also an honorary oblate of Monte Cassino. Honorary because I'm here, it's there. I would prefer to be there, but then I wouldn't be here. I cannot be in two places at one time, though my heart can. It is heaven on earth, as far as I'm concerned. And to sing and chant the Divine Liturgy every day from 5 o'clock in the morning to 8:30 at night is indeed a most wonderful experience. But today we celebrate the feast of the founder of the Benedictine family, which is in numbers pretty much the largest of all the families within the religious of the Church. The first order being that of the priests and brothers, the monks. And of course, that is one of the things that is still growing, despite all the things that are going on in the world. And then the second order, founded by Saint Benedict with his twin sister, Scholastica, who is remembered also in the hymn, and who is buried with him in the crypt of Monte Cassino, the second order, the order of cloistered Benedictine nuns. And of course, we are very, very well aware of many of those monasteries that are still not only being founded, but are ongoing, and with whom we have some kind of fraternal relationship in the spirit. And so, today is the day Saint Benedict was born near Rome in the little town of Norcia, or Nursia in Latin. And when he was of age, he was sent by his parents, who were very wealthy Romans, to Rome, to the universities, where he learned what he was supposed to learn. But at the same time, and he was sent with his nurse, who was to be his housekeeper until the time came. Because even a priest needs somebody to take care of his needs. Now, he wasn't a priest yet, and some say he never was a priest. He was just an abbot, the father of this family. And so he saw all kinds of evils within the university and the city of Rome, and he decided to hang it up. And so he told the nurse, go back home to Norcia, and I am going to go into a hermitage. And he found a series of caves and lakes and so forth in the town or area outside of Rome called Sublacum, which means beneath the lake. And the lakes were lakes that the emperors had dug for themselves. They were artificial lakes for their summer enjoyment. And so there it was abandoned. The empire was gone by this time. He was born in 380, I believe. So that would have been around the year 400 or so. And there were many caves and there were many hermits there. Well, on a couple of occasions, the hermits asked him to become their father, their superior, because they could see that he was beyond any of them. His holiness was incredible. And he agreed reluctantly. But then after a while, he was so strict that they didn't like it. They prefer to live on their own and do whatever they wanted to, as most people do, even today. We well know that. And so he said, no, if you don't want me to be your abbot, that's fine. I don't need to be your abbot. I'm going back to living in my own cave. In the meantime, there was no food. And so God took care of that. Every day, a black raven would bring him a basket with bread and wine. And of course, in the ancient days, even today to a certain degree, very few people drink wine there. They drink wine. And so the raven took care of St. Benedict. Then he founded another community after a few years, and the parish priest of the locality of Sublaco decided that he was taking away too many people from them. So he sent him a basket of wine and bread that had been poisoned. And so as Benedict broke the bread and blessed it and was about to eat it, a raven, perhaps the same raven, came and took it off and threw it on the floor and broke the bottle, and he was not poisoned. St. Benedict knew what it was. And so he decided to leave Sublacum, and he marched with all his monks, with his black robe troops, down south to just north of Naples, where there was a mountain, where there was a beautiful temple of one of the Roman gods. I think it was Apollo. And they went up there. The first thing they did, he never heard of the Second Vatican Council and ecumenism. So the first thing he did, he tore down the statues and tore down the pagan temple and said, this is it for this. The demons were furious. And so he began to build that which is today the magnificent Arch Abbey of Monte Cassino, the most beautiful, the largest, most glorious abbey in the world. And then, he had visions. He saw his sister Scholastica, who later joined him and founded a monastery of nuns nearby. And they spent the night together in prayer, St. Gregory tells us, because she prayed to God, and he sent such a terrible storm that he could not go back to Monte Cassino. And so they spend the night in holy discourse and prayer. And then, a few days later, he saw her soul ascend to heaven in the form of a dove. And that's why the statues of St. Scholastica always have a dove. St. Benedict sometimes have a black raven. So then, in addition to this, and many, 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 many miracles, too many to tell here, he had a vision that Monte Cassino would be destroyed 4 times in the history of the church and of the world. And indeed, it has happened. The 4th time, it was done by the Masons in World War II, not the Nazis or anybody else, the Masons. Churchill and Roosevelt and Truman. Even though the Holy Father, Pope Venerable Pius XII, begged for them to leave it alone, it didn't matter, they didn't care, and they bombed the smithereens out of Monte Cassino. There was almost nothing left except the tombs of St. Benedict and his twin sister, St. Scholastica. And they rebuilt again under Pius XII, and then later on it was consecrated by St. Paul VI. And so today, we celebrate the feast of this great saint, and he is the father of Western monasticism. And so today we give thanks to God for our monks and for our nuns. And at the same time, we pray for them, and we ask Almighty God to continue to increase their numbers and to bless them and to destroy their enemies, whether they're in the New York Times bestseller list or not. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.